Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ashley Klein from Prevent Connect, and I'm really excited to be joined today by Dara Rayboy Picciano and Elsie Coghill from Binghamton University in New York. They are joining me today to discuss the 20-to-1 programs. How are you both today?
Good, thank you.
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Prevent Connect to talk about your programs and Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Thank you for having us.
Great. So I wanted to start off, I know that the 20-to-1 programs are actually two separate programs. There's a sexual assault prevention program, I believe, and then a bystander program.
Yeah.
So I was just hoping if you could share a little bit about what sets those programs apart, and then how do they inform one another?
The 20-to-1 program started out as a sexual assault prevention program in around 2004. And at that point, it was fraternity men talking to fraternity men about sexual assault. The first educational component that we used was about victim empathy. And as our peers came back to us, they started to say, well, we need more programming. We need something on consent. We need something on bystander intervention. So we started to develop these programs. And so we had a program where bystander intervention was part of the sexual assault prevention program. And then at a certain point about 3 years ago, we were asked to develop a separate bystander program. So we took the bystander program out of the sexual assault program and started that program separately. And Elsie's going to tell you a little bit more about what's in that program.
Yeah. So the sexual assault prevention program is actually three tiers. So I would say the most popular tier that we use is the consent program, which is really just based around the definition of consent. And there's some programming around what it means to give informed consent. And then we have an empathy tier, which is a men's based program really built around victim blaming behaviors and how to properly help those that you may come into contact with that are victims. And so we have a women's based program as well that also focuses heavily on victim blaming, but also some predatory behaviors. And the bystander program covers sexual assault, but also domestic violence, hazing, any different area where good bystander behavior could help cut something off.
Great. Well, it sounds like you all are really focusing your efforts in a comprehensive way to be able to reach all the students on your campus and really change those social norms. How are you able to get buy-in from the athletic programs and working with Greek Life? How did you go about doing that?
So early on, we started doing focus groups with our fraternity men, as well as some of our sorority leaders. And we had a series of questions around if we were to do a program, what would it have to look like to be successful for our fraternity men? And really what we ended up doing was we created a program that really listened to what these focus groups told us. For example, they told us that fraternity men would listen to fraternity leaders who held a position within the fraternity or was an upperclassman. We also did focus groups with our athletes, and they actually told us very similar things. But when we met with the captains and some of the other athletic leaders, they explained to us that this was something that would be very hard for them to do in terms of giving their time. Mm-hmm. And so then they said it would be okay for our peer educators who were fraternity men to present to the athletes. But I think it's interesting because had we not gone through the focus groups with athletics and had not gotten their permission, I think it would have been a disaster. So that's sort of how we got initial buy-in.
And so, I mean, the first thing to know that helps us is that my role on campus is actually the director of fraternity and sorority life.
Perfect.
And so that provides us that connection. We recently, this past year, actually built sexual assault prevention into our fraternity and sorority accreditation program that we require all of our chapters to complete as a mandatory component.
The other piece is that once we had the first group of peer educators, they would handpick someone there from their fraternity to go through the interview process to take their place as a 20-to-1 peer educator. And that's been happening now for 13 years solidly with certain organizations.
And so we have organizations that are very proud of the fact that they continuously put interns into the 20-to-1 program.
Wow, that's great. Well, I just love that you really use that student involvement when you were developing the program, because it gives folks ownership, right?
And so, absolutely.
Yeah, and it also shows a real dedication on your part to really tailor your prevention efforts to what's happening on your specific campus and in that culture. And that's so important when we're doing any prevention work, that we're really speaking to the folks that we're trying to engage.
Absolutely.
Oh, great. How about other campus partners? Who else have you needed to collaborate with or needed to form partnerships in order for you to be successful with this work?
There's a relationship with the Counseling Center and Health Services, and through Health Services, the Health Ed Department, and the Dean of Students Office, which houses fraternity and sorority life, obviously athletics, but our Educational Opportunity Program. They've had professional staff who have worked with 20-to-1 over the years, as well as many students from their program as interns. We also have partnerships with our International Student Services Program, and there are many student organizations that we also have connection with. So some of our LGBTQ groups we have done programming for and adapt our program to meet their needs. So there's sort of a wide variety of on-campus.
And we've also branched the program off campus a little bit as well. So we did a program last year with Cornell University, which is nearby. And we've had interns go and do some work with the local community college. And then we also have a partnership with the ROTC program on campus.
It sounds like you're really taking your prevention efforts on campus and going outside of campus into the community.
And as we've been able to expand and students have certain interests with certain groups off campus like ROTC, we've been able to do that more and more. So, you know, we think that's an important part of the program as well.
Sure. Well, so as you've been strategic in how you do your prevention programming on campus, have there been any resources that you found especially helpful in helping you kind of look at this in a strategic and thoughtful framework?
Absolutely. So CalCASA has been one of our resources over the years and actually really helped us at the beginning of building this prevention program. When we were looking at doing the empathy program, we had to get a lot of training on men's programming. So we went to many conferences and did a lot of research. So we used and adapted the men's program from William & Mary. We've consulted with Alan Berkowitz quite a bit on bystander intervention and men's programming both. We use David Lisak's work, as well as bringing in the bystander from University of New Hampshire, and then took pieces and adapted it.
Yeah. And I would say the biggest resource that's helped us keep this program as something that works and that is relevant and that is strong has been our interns. Mm. And so every year we give them the opportunity to rewrite our scenarios, and they give us the proper language to use, the proper hotspots downtown, because it is campus based. So I consider our interns one of our most valuable resources that we have.
It sounds like it. I mean, it is really difficult when you're working with folks to keep things fresh and relatable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful resource. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I'm sure we could go on and talk for hours about all of the work that you do on campus. But I just want to say thank you again and, you know, good luck with everything.
Thank you so much, Ashley, for having us on this podcast.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission, or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.